There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God who worketh all in all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The famed scientist Louis Pasteur once stated, "The more I study nature, the more I stand amazed at the work of the Creator." Certainly, this is an important purpose of the created universe. Just as art and design in the church, or music and rubrics of the liturgy, are all meant not only to give praise to Almighty God, but also to cause, through the senses, the minds and hearts of man to raise up towards heaven, to think of the divine. And so much more is the reality of creation itself, the world around us, the universe that we behold. It is there, yes, to give glory to God for the purpose that it serves, but also is meant in order for us to regard it through our senses and to contemplate it and to draw ourselves to the reality of the Creator Himself. We see through creation His guiding hand of providence when we recognize the order in all that surrounds us. We recognize God to be awesome beyond compare because we are able to see in His creatures immense beauty that must only be a small portion of how great He truly is. And we are able to contemplate God's infinite reality by observing the vastness of what He has made by His own hand. In all of these points of contemplation and more, we begin to appreciate together when we take that step back and we open up our senses and we regard all around us and realize the true variety that is to be beheld in the creation of the universe. God is not redundant, nor is He superfluous in His work. To suggest such a thing would be to ascribe fault to one who is perfection itself. So, observe and reflect. No two trees are precisely the same shape or proportion to another. We are able to observe similarities amongst them, so we understand them in their essence to be trees. We are able to regard entire forests, which in and of themselves creates a uniformity and allows us to see a greatness as a whole, as a grouping of these trees together, a sea of green foliage, a great similarity. And yet, as far as the eye can see, as many as the trees are that we could ever count, each individual one is actually truly unique. We are able to stand in our homes and watch out through our windows and regard snow falling from the heavens. We see it fall in a blanket of white before our eyes. We watch it as it covers the ground and all of the objects in a thickness that can grow inch by inch and at times foot by foot. We see everything blanketed in a monochrome of great snow. There's more snowflakes than we can count. But each and every single one of them, if observed up close and individually, is unique in its shape and in its pattern and in its construction. Even in the highest levels of creation, the angels, spiritual beings, these themselves, we cannot number. However, we find in them certain similarities. We find similarities of operation, and these basic groupings of basic taskings from God allows us to manufacture 9 choirs in which we place the various angels. But God, in making the angels, has created each and every single one of them to be different from each other. And so, they are so different that they are not merely like individuals as you and I. But when we observe them upon our arrival in eternity, we will realize what they actually are, so different that each individual angel were as if it were its own species. And man, there are billions who have lived, billions currently now upon the earth, but no two are truly exactly the same. We can see this in our ability to recognize one another. That simply upon hearing a voice that is familiar to us, we are able to separate the timbre and pitch and cadence, to observe it as belonging to an individual whom we have met before. Or that despite long periods of time, years having passed by, great distances of separation, and the effects of age and years gone by, at a glance, we are able to see an old friend and realize exactly who they are. God creates all things to be different in order to fulfill their roles in the entirety of his creation. But it is the folly of fallen human nature that causes us to look at these variations, especially variations from one man to another, ourselves to an individual who is around us. And instead of appreciating the difference between, they are oftentimes because of envy and of judgment. Society, the embodiment of men and the reflection as a whole of his fallen nature, urges us onwards in this way of comparison. It calls us, it tries to influence us, to instead of embracing and perfecting what each one of us is called by God to do, rather to compare and to desire after that which does not belong to us. Society tries to influence women to seek after careers rather than appreciating duties of vocation, to try to equate obedience with somehow being less important, or that men should be more inclined towards self-serving rather than recognize and embrace the weight and importance of responsibility, to follow a path of ease rather than leading dependence and sacrificing for the betterment of those entrusted to us. And as individuals, We are oftentimes tempted to compare ourselves to another, to see and envy the gifts that they have, to envy their achievements, to want to somehow to be more like them and to hold them in a view that is unfair as a comparison. Or, in turn, to look with critical eye upon one's faults, to see another's weakness, and to be internally, or even worse, externally, expressive of our criticism of their own shortcomings, while failing to take that same level of criticism to our own faults, to our own shortcomings, and our own deficiencies. But herein is where the virtue of humility really exists. It is in realizing our own faults, in embracing our own weaknesses, and recognizing that these are areas in which I have to be critical towards myself, in which I have to strive for improvement, in which I have the ability to grow and in perfection, and to see it not as something to be depressing, but rather to see it as something, as a motivation, knowing that all the days of my life I am to strive for this end. But also in humility is to realize that we too are given gifts from Almighty God. Certain abilities, certain aptitudes. And from that, we are meant to embrace them. And we are meant to utilize them. We are not to see them and take pride in them as if they are something of our own, but realize that all these good things come to us from above. And as such, we are merely stewards of them, as if we are given some sort of tool, which we are not supposed to hoard away into a closet or a drawer, but to use to the completion of a job. We too are giving gifts from God that we are to put into use in order to fulfill our vocations and to succeed in doing what is best for our own selves and society around us. To work towards that greater good, the true good, in the serving and loving of God by all that He calls us to. Even in piety itself, one must never expect that we are called to be necessarily the same level of piety or holiness as somebody around us. But rather, I am to succeed in fulfilling what I am called to do, to achieving the heights which I am supposed to achieve to in that level and capability that has been given to me. As Cardinal Mary Duval says in his Litany of Humility, that others may be holier than I, provided I become as holy as I should. It does me no good. And to look to another who perhaps is able to contemplate to a deeper level or to spend more time devoted to study or prayer and to think to myself that somehow I am deficient because they are better. No, the deficiency solely lies in me, that I am able to strive tomorrow to a greater height than I am today. I am able to draw myself nearer to God, closer than I am at this moment. We see, and it's absurd to think about, this reality in heaven. St. Joseph of Cupertino doesn't envy St. Thomas Aquinas because one is simple and the other is brilliant. St. Isidore the farmer does not envy after St. Pius V, because one is a laborer and one is the prince of the church. No. Each fulfills what he is called to do and perfects himself through that calling. striving after his own holiness, fulfilling his own spiritual cup. We hear all too often about ideas which are contrary to what God wants. We are meant by the world to pay attention to accidents such as ethnicity rather than appreciation of aptitude. We are meant by the world to worry about a hierarchy created in worth ascribed by the world rather than a worth that is attributed to us by the one who actually loves us and created us and gave us purpose. We are meant by the world to look around at others and to strive after simple temporal goods, thinking that by possessions and wealth and attaining higher positions, that somehow that man has a greater value. When in reality, in reflecting upon ourselves in true humility, in embracing the gifts that God has given us and utilizing them to the best of our abilities, in realizing what our calling from God may be, and realizing that that vocation is far greater than any kind of occupation could ever be, to recognize and embrace the reality that I, myself, am called to serve God by the means He has laid out for me, by the gifts in which He has entrusted me, by the position in life which He has assigned me, and that embracing all of that is the way in which I sanctify myself and I truly serve Him in this life, and I am able to attain the happiness in the life to come. May God bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen.